But we're going to be speaking tonight on three different words in the Bible. And those three words is love, grace, and mercy. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn over to the book of John, this is probably the best well-known scripture in the Bible. To John 3:18, most of you know it by heart. If any of the kids ever been to Vacation Bible School, kids probably know it by heart. That scripture is probably taught more than any scripture to children, than any scripture I know of. But let's talk about love for just a minute. When preparing for this, I know everybody knows what love is. Either you got a spouse you love, or a brother you love, a sister you love, a mother you love, a son, daughter, a grandchildren. So you know what love means. But if you go to the Webster Dictionary, it's an intense feeling of deep affection. That pretty well sums it up. And then it's the second definition it had to it was a great interest and pleasure in something. There again, that's a pretty good description of it. So when you look at John 3:16, that verse says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, if it wasn't for God's love, when you think back to when God spoke into existence, the earth, when he created Adam, then he created Eve. That was love. And then he looked some time ahead. From that moment, he knew that he was going to send his son to the cross to die in our place for our sins, that we could have an everlasting life, an eternity with him in heaven. Now, folks, if that isn't love, there's not a definition that would cover that. You know, I think about that, and I just can't imagine sacrificing someone you love for people you don't even know. But God knew us. He loved us. You know, I take my hat off to our veterans. They were so willing to give of their self to go across the seas and willing to give their life to protect this country. That's love, folks. That's not only love for their people, that's love for the United States. That's love that I can't imagine doing. You know, the love that God shows us every day, the blessings that he bestows on us every day. And he does it because he loves us. He doesn't have to do anything for us. He didn't have to send his son to Calvary, but he did. He did it for you, for me, for you, for everybody sitting under the sound of my voice. He done it. You know, and when I look at this scripture, when I get down to that whosoever, I put my name in there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that Bobby Heath, isn't that great to know? that he done it for me, he done it for you. That's a wonderful feeling. That's wonderful to know that he done that. You know, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, now, I'll give you time to flip there if you want to flip there, but I'll read it to you. The Bible says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. That scripture says, God is love. You want to know what love is? You want to write a definition in? You can put in there, God is love. You know, it's remarkable to think about the love that God has. In Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 30 and 31, and I believe his name was Chet. Wasn't that his name that was here Sunday? Yeah. I believe he covered these two scriptures. It's the first. Christ said, this is the first and the second commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is Jesus speaking. You know, God loves us. We ought to love him. We ought to put him first in everything we undertake to do. We ought to put him first in our life. When we wake up in the morning, we ought to thank him for the love he shows us. We ought to thank him for the blessings that he's given us. We ought to thank him for the day he's allowed us to wake into. He loved us. We ought to love him. We ought to love him enough to thank him. Verse 31 says, and the second is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Jesus says, these are the two greatest commandments there is. Number one, to love thy God. To love God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with everything you undertake. Love God. And then love your neighbor. I looked at it this morning. I meant to write it down. But the Bible says, if you can't love your neighbor, then the love of God's not in you. So, you know, do you love your neighbor? Do you care about your neighbor? Do you try to help your neighbor? Do you show your neighbor that you care about them, that you love them? You know, I know this, the people of this church, this is one of the most caring churches I've ever been associated with. This is one of the most loving churches I've ever been associated with. You show love at the phone calls and the prayers that has been sent up on our behalf. That's love, folks. You know, how can you pray for somebody if you don't love them? I don't believe you can. I believe you got to love them. You got to care about them before you can pray to God to ask God to help them, to do something for them. You know, in Romans 5:8, but God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, died for us. You know, there again, it goes back to when he created the world. He looked ahead in time. And he says, you know, in 2021, there's going to be people sitting in a church that they showed me love by being there. I showed them love by giving them my son. You know, I think that's There again, that's remarkable to me that he could do that. You know, we're so unworthy of his love, his grace, his mercy. But he loves us so much that he gives that to us. My computer would not let me print all this on one page. So. But let's look at grace. Let's look at grace is actually mentioned in the Bible over 150 times. Beginning in the book of Genesis, where Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. To the last verse of the Bible, the grace of Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now that's found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. So from the beginning of time to the end of Revelation, he's showing grace. He's telling us about his grace. You know, in looking up, trying to bring into what the Bible says about grace, what Bible scholars say about grace, says this: grace is God giving the greatest treasure to the least deserving, which is every one of us. We don't deserve his grace, but he gives us. It says grace is a blessing that we don't deserve. Now, how true is that statement? You know, we don't do anything to deserve God's grace. Nothing. Nothing we've ever done, nothing we'll ever do deserves it, but he gives it to us. Grace is God choosing to bless us rather than curse us as our sins deserve. You know, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 9, says, "For grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourself, but of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, it's God's love, God's grace, that we can approach his throne and ask him, give our heart to him, ask him to save us. That's the only thing we got to do, is asking. Repent of our sins and asking, and he'll do it. Now, folks, that's grace. We can go to church. We can be a deacon in church. We can be a Sunday school teacher in church. We can just be here at the back door shaking hands, coming and going. We can pick up gum wrappers and stuff. No matter what we do in church, no matter what it is, it's not going to get us to heaven. It don't save us. The only thing that saves us is God's grace. Us asking for his grace. Let's ask him for his salvation. That's what saves us. Without Jesus, the grace of forgiveness wouldn't be possible. Without him going and hanging on that cross and dying for our sins, grace wouldn't be possible. It's because he'd done that. It's because he shed his blood. That's what brought grace into the picture. Romans 3, 23 and 24 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Yeah. Isn't that a wonderful passage of scripture? Isn't that wonderful to know that his grace is freely given? In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says this: said unto me, now here's Jesus talking, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. There again, when you look at his grace, and he's telling you, it's sufficient. You don't have to do nothing else. I paid the price. I paid the cost. And my grace covers it all. The shedding of my blood covers every sin that ever was. Every sin you've ever committed, every sin you've committed, and every sin you'll ever commit. His blood covers it. That's such a wonderful thing to know, that his grace, we're covered. You know, the Bible tells us that no man can pluck you out of the hand of Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us that we are sealed until the day of redemption. Once you give your life to him, now it doesn't give you a license to go out there and commit sins, but once you give your life to him, once you accept him as your Lord and Savior, no matter what sin you commit, he covered it with his blood. And last but not least, I want us to look at mercy. We've looked at grace. We've looked at mercy. God shows both grace and mercy, but they're not the same. Mercy withholds a punishment we deserve. You need me to say that again? Mercy withholds a punishment that we deserve. It's by his mercy that we're never going to burn in hell, that we have a life eternal with him. By his love, through his grace, and by his mercies, he's not going to punish us like we deserve to be punished. The sins that we've committed, you know, we'll never, as Christians, have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the sins you commit. You'll have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things you didn't do, the opportunity he's given us, the things he's given us and we've wasted. But you don't have to give an account for your sins, because his mercy, his blood, has already covered that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. There again, that's a wonderful passage of scripture. When you know that we can come boldly to his throne. We can approach his throne boldly and ask him for anything. We can tell Christ anything. We can pour out our heart to him, and he listens. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, he loved us. There again, you know, the mercy that God shows us. When we don't deserve his mercy, we don't deserve being treated as a child of the king. But because we can go to his throne, because we've asked him to save us, because we've asked him to be Lord of our life, Lord and King of our life, God of our life, it allows us to do that. Sorry about that. It allows us to do that. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto the living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, I often tell the pastor when he's standing back there at the door after a message he's preached, I've often told him, man, that was a great message. You know what his reply is always to? Is to? There's good stuff in there, ain't they? And they are. I ain't found nothing bad in there yet. And it's all good to me. And Romans 12:1 in closing says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's not asking us to do nothing that's not reasonable. It's our reasonable service to present ourselves to God. It's very simple. Some says it's hard to do. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship with him. That's pretty easy to do, you know. And last but not least, I was told this today, and I thought, man, how great that is right there. And so being as any good preacher would do, you don't know where it is in the Bible. I go to my Bible before I do anything. And I look up the words that's in it. Couldn't find it. So I Googled it. Didn't find it. And so I called the person back. I said, where'd you get that? She says, well, I must have heard it someplace. But you think about it. And I did. And I thought, man, what a message that is. Mercy is unlimited measure of God's amazing grace and love. Think about that. His amazing grace, his love, the mercy that he shows us. Let's all stand. Brother Andy, I'm going to ask you if you would close us in prayer.